Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It is March the 3rd, 2017. Winter almost at an end. Not quite. We're getting a resurgence of winter today in New York City, getting colder, but great time of year. Hope you've all had a wonderful week. Glad to join you at the end of the week to play that game of catch-up that we've grown accustomed to doing for these years that I've been doing this program. Those of you familiar with me with this program know that I'm a retired senior special agent with what used to be the Immigration and Naturalization Service. And ever since the terror attacks of 9/11, my goal has been to provide the perspectives, the information, the facts that the mainstream media, for a bunch of reasons, refuses to do. And that's why I'm here, although once in a while we do go into other areas of interest. My primary focus is immigration, at how it impacts virtually every challenge and threat that America and Americans face in this very perilous and difficult era. I'm going to start out by reminding you all about websites. I just like to do this because I want you to pass this information to as many people as you can, be part of what I call my Bucket Brigade of Truth. It's about providing the information to as many of our fellow Americans as possible. First of all, my favorite website, obviously, is my own personal website, michaelcutler.net, one word, C-U-T-L-E-R, michaelcutler.net. For years, I've been associated with an organization based in beautiful downtown Santa Barbara, California. Pardon me. I somehow seem to have a frog taking up residence in my throat this evening. My friends in Santa Barbara at Californians for Population Stabilization, CAPS Web, C-A-P-S. CAPS Web is their website. I suggest that you visit it regularly. They post new articles every single day. They're very active, and it's important to remember that it's not just about California, even though the title of their group is Californians for Population Stabilization. The issues that impact California where immigration is concerned impact all 50 states. So again, their website, CAPS Web, C-A-P-S, CAPSWeb.org. Also, I have been writing profusely for a wonderful organization as well, the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Their publication, frontpagemagazine.com, frontpagemag.com is their website. We're going to talk about my most recent article, The Front Page. I also write for The Social Contract. And in fact, the spring edition is being put together even as you hear my voice. So I'm very excited. My understanding is that I have the lead story in their quarterly journal. It is going to be all about immigration fraud and visa fraud, the lies that kill, as I explain in my very extensive article. Very proud to be working with The Social Contract, and hopefully we'll have some interesting news about a joint venture that I will be entering into with them. But we'll get to that when the time is right, but just something for you to think about. We're going to have some interesting news coming out about a joint venture between myself and the terrific folks at The Social Contract. Yesterday, by the way, March the 2nd, I did something that was kind of interesting and different. I've been on hundreds of television programs in the United States ever since 9/11. There was a time, in fact, before the mainstream media shut down the discussion on immigration, where I was averaging a dozen to 15 television interviews per month. The mainstream media ignores the issues, brings in pundits, pollsters, and political consultants to talk about immigration, where they always bring in true subject matter experts, where it's almost any other topic, whether it's the military, medicine, politics, whatever, homicides. They'll bring in retired cops, retired generals, when it's immigration, pundits, pollsters, and politicians come on board and generally do a great job of confounding any understanding of the issue. But there are a couple of exceptions, and I have to make note of those exceptions, by the way. Very happy to have become something of a regular on Newsmax TV, something of a regular with the Graham Ledger program at One American News Network. And Dana Loesch has been generous with providing me quite a few opportunities in this past month, in fact, in February, to provide my perspectives on her terrific program over at The Blaze TV. So there is an uprising, if you will, in the media where new organizations or relatively new organizations are rising up, because many Americans understand that no matter what your political persuasion is, you're not getting the truth that we should be getting from supposed journalists. And that's very dangerous. Democracies depend on honest journalism and depend on an informed electorate. That's why freedom of speech, freedom of the press, was right in the First Amendment. And as some pundits have said, some philosophers have said, and the Second Amendment protects the First Amendment. But that's how critical it is. So what I did that was interesting was I went and appeared on an Irish television program, which was quite different, quite interesting. Very happy to do the program over on RTE Network. And the discussion was the undocumented Irish in the United States who were living in fear. So when we hear all this nonsense about how immigration is about the Latino voter, and, you know, I've gone after that bigotry, racism, and profiling innumerable times. Americans are Americans, and I don't care what your skin color, your race, or your religion, or your ethnicity is. And remarkably, the same supposed journalists and politicians who go nuts at the mere thought of law enforcement profiling are eager to profile where voters are concerned. Americans want the same thing, essentially. Even if you lean towards the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, or more than likely lean in your own direction, because those two parties have done a terrible job of representing the average American. In fact, I've made the point recently that we're not so much a country divided between Democrats and Republicans, but by globalists versus populists. And certainly Donald Trump is a populist, as were the founding fathers. I mean, think about the first three words in the Declaration of Independence written by Thomas Jefferson in large measure: we the people. We the people. So, you know, that's really where we are today, in that state of conflict. But we hear so much about Latino voters and Latino illegal aliens and Latino this and Latino that, and trying to convince people that anybody who wants the immigration laws enforced has something against Latinos. It's pretty outrageous stuff. And if there are people that see the world through that prism, they need serious help. They need serious help, because our immigration laws are not about race, religion, or ethnicity, but they are about keeping out aliens who pose a threat to our safety, public health, criminal activity, terrorism, people who also would deprive us of our jobs, or by flooding the labor pool with so many foreign workers, suppress wages for Americans across a broad spectrum of industries, jobs, and professions. That's why we have immigration laws, and that's why the laws are so darn important. So it was interesting to go on a program that I did, you know, my segment from Manhattan in a studio that I used frequently when I did MSNBC appearances. It was like old home week, but we used a satellite, obviously, and had a hookup with a former congressman from the United States, and the host and people from the actual program were back in Ireland. So it was a very interesting program. If you go to my website, you'll see the link to it, or you can go to RTE Network. And I've provided the link, by the way, on the accompanying material that goes with my radio show. So it's Undocumented Irish and U.S. Living in Fear. And it's remarkable, because here we're talking about, for the most part, people who are visa violators. And by the way, nearly half of all illegal aliens in the United States are visa violators. And one of the interesting things that came out of the discussion, I was being challenged for the fact that My own family story is one of immigration, not unusual. I'm first generation American. My dad was born in America. My mom was born in Poland. But I said, my mom came here legally. My dad's parents and family came here legally. And I said, we need to draw a clear distinction between legal immigration and illegal immigration. And so many of the same things that we hear about the people that run the border, this isn't fair, they came here looking for a better life. At the end of the day, countries have the authority to determine who can and who cannot enter onto their land. And what was so remarkable was at one point during the interview, and I hope you get to watch it, because I thought it went really well, the young lady who was interviewing me, came across fair, tough but fair, and that's fine. That's what journalists are supposed to be, tough but fair. But I said to her, how does Ireland enforce its immigration laws? And she said, oh my goodness, they're very tough. So why is it that America isn't supposed to be tough? We know that Mexico is super tough on illegal aliens. We know that in Mexico, if you dare become involved in a political demonstration of any sort, you are immediately subject to deportation. That's the case in many countries. Whether or not they declare themselves democracies, whether or not there's any notion of freedom of speech, there are many countries in this world where if you go out there and start to demonstrate in a political demonstration, you will find yourself on an airplane before you know how you got to that airplane. Now, I'm not saying that we should necessarily be doing that here, but I am very concerned about this new trend about the wackaloon rent-a-mobs that show up at Republican news conferences or Republican town hall meetings and get very aggressive with members of Congress. Look, congressmen and congresswomen accountable, senators, governors, mayors, we need to make them accountable. And at the end of every program, I always make the point that democracy is not a spectator sport. And that's exactly what I'm suggesting that you do. Attend the town hall meetings. Ask the tough questions, but do so in a civil, rational manner. You don't have the right to try to intimidate other people, whether it's an elected official or other participants in a town hall meeting. You need to be civil and you need to be polite. And that was what the Founding Fathers talked about, the right for peaceable assemblage. Those are the words in the First Amendment, the right for peaceable assemblage. Leave your guns, your clubs, and your knives out of the conversation. Don't go in there in a menacing fashion. That's not democracy, that's mobocracy, and it's something that I am dead set against. And it's remarkable that we see mobocracies at town hall meetings being held primarily by Republicans these days, but the college campuses provide safe spaces for college students who might find themselves suffering from whatever it means, a microaggression. My God, the world has gone upside down, and we as Americans have got to make certain we stop the lunacy. Stop the lunacy. College campuses are supposed to be bastions of true free speech, of true where ideas can be exchanged and discussed and debated. I was going to teach debate on the college level had I not become a federal agent. Debate is part of an educational process, and it is part of the democratic process. So I just felt compelled today to make that point because I find it very disturbing. I've had my disagreements with Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, but he's a member of the United States Senate. And because of all of the crazy demonstrations that have happened by one of his district offices, according to a news report on Fox News a day or two ago, he has been evicted from his own office because the landlord of the property said, we can't tolerate this madness that's going on. This threatens democracy. This is not what democracy is about. Anyone that thinks they can hide behind free speech while harassing and threatening and intimidating other people better get their act together and understand they're violating the law. This is not pro-American. It's not an American way of doing things. It's what you expect of the third world, not the United States of America. And really and truly, we need to see it for what it is. An effort to intimidate, to shut down debate, in politics so that the bullies in politics, and in this case we're talking unmistakably about the Democrats, and full disclosure, I'm registered as a Democrat. I never, ever voted a party line since I've been voting more years than I care to think about, more decades than I care to think about. But, you know, we see this pattern emerging. And you see what's going on with Jeff Sessions. It's the constant drumbeat that they're going to obstruct and intimidate this Donald Trump administration. And I'm not certain that there aren't some Republicans who would not, if they could get away with it, stand with the Democrats because they're globalists. If you're truly a populist, and I believe Donald Trump is, then you understand that his goal is to do what is in the best interests of the American people. And it is really important for everybody to remember that America isn't mountains and streams and parks and buildings. I mean, yes, certainly geographically that is America. But the heart of America is the human beating hearts of every American citizen, irrespective of race, religion, ethnicity, gender, doesn't matter. American citizens comprise America. Frank Sinatra does a really great song, "What is America to Me?" And at the end of the song, and I won't even dare think of singing it to you because I used to make money with my singing when I was younger. People were willing to pay me not to sing for good reason. But the song ends with, "Most of all, America is its people." That's America to me, you see. And so for far too long, the American people have been treated like garbage by their own government, treated like speed bumps to the goals of the globalists and the top 1%ers. They want the Americans to buy the crap they peddle in the marketplace, but they want to make damn sure that Americans don't manufacture whatever it is until and unless they can drive down the wages of Americans through the floorboard, which is being done on a daily basis by the admission of foreign workers. And I've mentioned this before, and I will mention it again. Under the past several administrations, when there were stakeholder meetings, people who supposedly had a stake in immigration, especially under Obama, but George W. Bush, in my judgment, not better. Bill Clinton, not better. The stakeholders were the lawyers who represent illegal aliens, the illegal aliens themselves, the groups that were getting money for the resettlement of refugees, and boy, oh boy, you could just hear cha-ching, and it was deafening, the money that they were getting for this. The corporations that hire the illegal aliens, and the list goes on and on and on, but nowhere in the stakeholders was the American voice to be heard. Nowhere in the stakeholders was the voice of the employees of the Department of Homeland Surrender, as I've come to call DHS, being heard. When Obama held stakeholder meetings, and the representatives of the Border Patrol, the union reps of the Border Patrol, of the ICE agents, of the adjudication officers, were told, "You're not getting in. We don't want to hear what you have to say. We don't want to know what you have to say." And it was for good reason. Because if those union representatives got their voices heard, people would come to understand the duplicitous betrayal, the duplicitous conduct, and the way it betrayed America and Americans. Flooding America with more foreign workers than the numbers of new jobs we're creating. Educating 514,000, as we are right now, foreign students in STEM curricula, science, technology, engineering, and math, with India and China sending us the greatest number of those high-tech students. They don't want Americans to realize the betrayal. You know, the talk about free college. Well, you know what? I agree with free college. I'm the product of basically a free college system at Brooklyn College, which is a fine university. And I wouldn't be where I am today had I not been able to get that education. My folks died when I was in college. And it was only because I did not really pay much more than a couple of bucks to go to college that I was able to. Paid my debt to America by being a good federal agent and doing what I do since I've left government. And many other of my classmates went on to have very successful careers who also could not have afforded to go to college. But what's the point to going to college if you're not going to get the jobs when you get a degree, no matter how great your grades are? And more and more Americans are finding themselves in that position. So do you think that the elite of the Obama administration wanted the media to get wind of it? Although I'm sure the media would have shut down the conversation anyway, just the way they shut down the obvious nexus between immigration and terrorism. You know, the hypocrisy that we are subjected to on a daily basis blows my mind. And it's that very hypocrisy that formed the predication for my latest article for Front Page Magazine. My latest article for Front Page Magazine was just published on the 27th of February, just a few days ago. And the title, Alien Trespassing, Senator Schumer, His Congressional Cohorts, and Leftist Hypocrisy. And it's mind-boggling. Chuck Schumer, along with Lindsey Graham, along with John McCain, along with others, Marco Rubio, I believe Mr. Menendez was a part of this from New Jersey, Senator Menendez. They wanted to provide illegal aliens with a pathway, at least to legalization, if not outright citizenship. Schumer was the big voice. Citizenship, citizenship. In fact, it was Schumer's amnesty program for agricultural workers in the Reagan amnesty of 86 that allowed an individual by the name of Mahmoud Abu Alima to get lawful status in the United States as an agricultural worker, and the guy blatantly committed fraud. Never worked on a farm. The only thing he did plant, though, was a bomb in the garage at the World Trade Center in 1993 that killed six people, injured over 1,000 people, and inflicted more than $500 million on that once iconic complex of buildings in Lower Manhattan that were demolished utterly on 9/11. I'm certainly not blaming Mr. Schumer, Mahmoud Abu Alima, and what he did, but this was an ill-conceived idea. And this is part of the reason why you need to listen to the people who worked inside the government. You know, if you listen to the pundits on TV, and they say, well, if an alien has been living in the United States for 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, pick a number, and if they've kept their nose clean, then, my God, we should give them citizenship. Question that nobody ever asks. How do you determine how long an illegal alien has been living in the United States? First question. Now, if the person came in with a passport and violated the terms of his or her admission, you may find the date in the databases. It's iffy, but you may find it. If the person runs the border, and that's more than half of these folks, you're not going to find it. There is no record created when they run the border. In a manner of speaking, in a very real manner of speaking, aliens who run the border are trespassing on America. So understand that if we were dealing with a couple of thousand illegal aliens, you could send out a bunch of agents to knock on doors and show people photographs, basically do a background investigation. Not a background check, but a background investigation. Background investigations are arduous, expensive, and time-consuming. It means going out in the field, knocking on doors, showing people photographs, and asking them what they know about the person. You then compile all the information and you submit a report that contains all of the relevant facts. That's a background investigation. I had a top secret clearance at least every 5 years. I used to jokingly call it a visit to the bureaucratic proctologist, because they would really crawl into every nook and cranny and find out about how you were conducting yourself and whether or not your behavior created a security risk. Were you living beyond your means? Were you doing all kinds of crazy things? So, you know, that's what they did. And it would take months to complete the investigation. It cost thousands of dollars. And then you got your top secret clearance renewed, presuming that you got a clean bill of health. A background check simply means they run fingerprints and a name against the database. So an alien whose fingerprints aren't in the database comes up as a no hit, no record. And if they use a fake name, that may well also come back as a no hit. Or even if they use their true name, but they flip the date of birth around a little bit, that could knock things off. Or if you're dealing with somebody whose name is written in a language that doesn't use the same alphabet we do. You know, I'm Jewish, so think about the term Hanukkah, which is the festival of lights. We celebrate it around the same time that our Christian friends celebrate Christmas. How do you spell Hanukkah? Is it C-H-A-N-N-A-K-H-A? UKAH rather, or is it without the H at the end? Is it CH, or is it just HAN? You see, there's multiple ways to spell the word just Hanukkah. So when you have foreign names in different alphabets, there may be 20 different ways of spelling the same name. What does that do to our database ability to identify possible problem people? And we don't know everybody who's good or bad. As I said when I was on Newsmax the other day with Bill Tucker, St. Peter and Santa Claus may have a thorough list so they know who's naughty and who's nice. Our lists aren't nearly as thorough and all-encompassing. So this is really a problem. So when people say, well, if they've been living here for a certain number of years, you won't be able to know. There's no time and no resources to do real investigations. No one's going to be interviewed because we're dealing with tens of millions of people potentially. So all that adjudications officer is going to be able to look at is the application with the supporting documents. And if an alien lies on the application, the odds are very good that the alien will get away with lying. And the 9/11 Commission, in fact, said that that was one of the key methods of entry and abetting for the terrorists, committing fraud. Fraud is a lie put on paper to provide an alien with a benefit he or she is not entitled to if all the material facts were known. That's immigration fraud. There's other kinds of fraud, the insurance fraud, the guy claims he had an accident, he didn't. The guy who claims he fell down, but he didn't. These are all examples of fraud. Lies put on paper so that the person gets a benefit to which they're not entitled. Where immigration is concerned, it could lead to terrorists and fugitives gaining access to America. After the Second World War, we saw this with the Nazi war criminals, those pieces of trash who should have gone to jail or the gallows because of the roles they played in the massacre of 13 million or more people, 6 million of whom were Jews. So, fleeing the consequences of the Nuremberg trials, they snuck into America, they kept a low profile. Certainly, they didn't threaten our lives per se, but I sure as hell didn't want them here. But today, we worry about terrorists who want to kill us and have killed our people entering the United States by lying on those applications. And you have people on the set of television programs on just about every major channel talking about, well, if someone's been living here for X number of years. And I'm sure that the same nonsense went on at the stakeholder meeting, spewing nonsense not grounded in reality. The people are making presumptions, politicians perhaps making presumptions. And of course, campaign contributions go a long way to helping persuade them. So they'll say things like, well, if the person has been here a long time. Or when the issue about the visa waiver program was raised, and if you watch television, you saw intelligence officials and military officials and law enforcement people say, well, we've got a real problem with the way we're able to vet these applications. But nobody ever stopped to ask what happens when people lie on those applications. How do you know that the information you're looking at is accurate or truthful? And that's where the voice of the people that represent the adjudicators or the Border Patrol or the ICE agents should have been sought by the administration. They should have said, come in and tell us, what do you think? They were barred from participating because it was a giveaway program. Don't tell us anything that will persuade us to not go forward. And when you look at the visa waiver program, the information that nobody was getting was that what was being proposed to fix the visa waiver program made no sense. They called it an enhanced visa waiver program, enhanced. And what do they say? If aliens who come from the countries whose citizens are not required to have visas, let's say Great Britain, Germany, Spain, France, Italy, and if it turns out that they had been to Syria or Iraq or some other countries in the Middle East, then they would require a visa to enter the United States. Boy, that sounds great. These people have been to Syria, if they've been to Iraq, if they've been to Afghanistan, if they've been to Yemen, if they've been, I believe, to Ethiopia, they're going to need to get a visa. Nobody stopped to ask, how would we know if a terrorist had been to terror training camp? Did they expect these people to show up at an embassy or a consulate with what, the transcript of their bomb school? I got an A in bomb making. I know how to make IEDs. You think they were going to show up with that transcript? You think anyone stamped their passport when they entered Syria or Lebanon or Yemen? But it feels good. It sounds like they're making it tougher. That's enhanced visa waiver program. No, it's not. It's laughable, except there's nothing funny about people being blown up or stabbed or killed otherwise by trucks, perhaps. But they call it the enhanced visa waiver program. You know, this is the kind of nonsense being foisted on the American people, and it has been going on for decades, where the immigration system that was supposed to protect American lives and American jobs for Americans is now simply seen as a way of bringing in massive numbers of foreign workers to drive down the wages by displacing American workers and ultimately creating a new norm in terms of wages and working conditions, which is virtually identical with what the third world experiences. That's what this has been about. Alan Greenspan was clear about it. When Greenspan testified for Chuck Schumer back on April 30th, 2009, he referred to American high-tech workers as the privileged elite. And he said, these people are making a wage premium, earning a wage premium because they're being shielded from foreign competition. He said, if we can get rid of that wage premium by making Americans compete with foreign workers and get rid of that premium because they shouldn't be earning that much money, then we could greatly reduce inequality in wages between Americans with skills and those with lesser skills. Folks, this is such a level of betrayal against hardworking Americans, Americans who went to college and got their degrees and put in years and years of their lives working their hearts out for corporations so that they could be fired and ordered to train their replacements from India. And by the way, those replacements from India are being educated in the United States. And there's even something known as the optional training program where Indian students and other students, not just India, any of the high-tech students from other countries can be employed in the United States for a couple of years. Be looking for the people, to cheap labor that's going to come in and replace American workers, there's your way. You keep on bringing in foreign students. When they reach a certain level of proficiency, you hire them. They're not covered by Obamacare. The employer doesn't have to pay for any of the other labor costs that you would have to pay for American workers, you know, workman's comp and that sort of thing. They're not covered by it. So even if you pay this guy the same thing you would pay an American or a lawful immigrant, you're saving $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a year and giving the two workers the same paycheck. And of course, the foreign student takes less money, so there's an even bigger saving to be had. And if you run a company where you have 100 employees or 1,000 employees, do the math. Do the math. This is about driving the wages of American workers through the floorboards. And that's why you have 95 million working-age Americans who've left the labor force. That's why wages have been suppressed. That's why the economy hasn't taken off the way it should, because they've killed the consumer class. But the hypocrisy goes on. And, you know, I mentioned about trespassing and how dangerous trespassing is. So Chuck Schumer comes along in 2014, and you can go to his own website so that there's no question about where I'm getting my information from, because I originally saw a news conference that he did that was covered by the various news organizations. He was going to Washington, I believe it was with the mayor, and asking for more money because New York is the prime target for the terrorists. And New York is. New York is. And he said, we are a prime target. And he said, we've got to protect America against terrorists. And he launched into this speech about how people that trespass on critical infrastructure and people who trespass on national landmarks aren't being punished severely enough, and that's why they do it. And Chuck Schumer made the point that in New York, under the law, the worst that a trespasser can be sentenced to is a year in jail. And he said, you know what? Most of these people don't even get a year in jail. They get a couple of months to slap on the wrist, and so it doesn't deter anybody. He said, here's the secret. He wanted to make trespassing a federal law violation with a five-year jail sentence. And what was so incredible is that one of the people that he cited to illustrate why this was so important was a 16-year-old boy who climbed the World Trade Center, it was still under construction, to take a selfie of himself at the top of the building. He wants to put a 16-year-old kid in jail for 5 years. Amazing. But when you trespass on America, then you should be granted citizenship. Hypocrisy is outrageous. It's outrageous. But remarkably, nobody in the media connected those dots. Trespassing is trespassing is trespassing. And in fact, in my article, I provided a definition for trespassing. Trespass on something to enter land or a building that you do not have permission or the right to enter. Well, isn't that what an alien does when he or she runs the border and sets foot on American territory illegally? Right? Trespass is to enter land or a building you do not have the permission or the right to enter. Illegal aliens do not have the right to enter the United States. That's what makes them illegal. It blows my mind. So this is a level of hypocrisy that is impossible to reconcile. I'd love to see somebody at a news conference say to Chuck, "Chuck, if you think trespassing is so dangerous, why aren't you going after illegal aliens? Why do you want to give them lawful status? Because they're trespassing." And we know that terrorists and criminals have come into the United States in order to do their dastardly deeds. Why doesn't that concern you? And here is a segment of what he said. Let me read this part to you. And please go to Front Page Magazine. I want you to read the article. If you find that this is striking a resonant chord, I'd like you to take the article that I wrote and either email it to your friends or post it on social media. We've got to wake people up to the way that we're being swindled out of our lives and our jobs and our future. But more importantly, the impact this is having on our children and the impact this has on our grandchildren. This is an issue that's going to damage America and Americans for generations to come if we don't stop the lunacy. And this is not a statement of xenophobia. You know, I was an immigration inspector at the beginning of my career. I was happy to admit people into the United States if their passports were legitimate, if everything they were doing was according to what the law required. I was happy to admit people. I admitted refugees. I admitted foreign students. I admitted tourists. I admitted people from all over the world. Happy to do it. Put a smile on my face when everything went smoothly. Nobody wanted to say to somebody, you can't come in. And by the way, when the president said we're going to block the entry of aliens from certain countries, the media had a cow and said, oh my God, these people had valid visas. Well, in 2013, over 200,000 aliens were denied entry in the United States, even though many of them had valid visas. So I saw both sides of that equation as an immigration inspector. I spent a year as an adjudications officer doing the marriage interviews, and I approved hundreds of applications, which meant that those aliens were issued green cards. As soon as I approved the application, within days, that green card was in the mail to them. Happy to do it, as long as they were legitimately married. This is not an anti-immigrant position that I have. It's a pro-enforcement position. Contrary to the lies and the nonsense of the Orwellian new-speaking open borders anarchists. You know, you're anti-immigrant. No, I'm pro-enforcement. And those laws are designed to protect us. But here's what Schumer said, and this is remarkable. This is in his own press release, folks. He wrote these words, or one of his staffers certainly did. And the press release, by the way, was issued on October 13, 2014. Go to his website. I provide the link in the online article that Front Page Magazine published a couple days ago. So here's part of it. Currently, New York City law has maximum penalty for trespassing of under 1 year. In light of terrorism, federal law should make loud and clear, particularly to trespassers from overseas. Well, I would call an illegal alien, folks, a trespasser from overseas. That wrongdoers should stay off bridges, WTC, meaning the World Trade Center, the Statue of Liberty, or other critical infrastructure. They should stay off of our land if they're illegal, period, folks. He then goes on and says this: with terror threats at a high, it must be made loud and clear to any would-be trespassers, adrenaline junkies, or potential criminals that the federal government and the NYPD take trespassing on critical infrastructure and national monuments very seriously. A law that makes this a federal crime and raises the current maximum jail time from 1 to 5 years would help deter this behavior and provide the NYPD with stronger tools to combat this disturbing trend. Think about that. Think about that. How does this make any sense to anybody, that you have a senator who believes that trespassing on infrastructure is a crime, but trespassing on America should not be, that it should be a pathway to citizenship for an illegal alien? That's the lunacy that we're coping with here, folks. That's what doesn't make any sense. And you know, when I listen to the nonsense, the attacks on Donald Trump for trying to protect American lives and American jobs, I don't even know what to say. It's virtually impossible to understand what in the world the Democrats think they're doing, how they think that Americans are going to be happy with that kind of insanity. There is absolutely no sense to doing what they're doing. The American people have voiced their voices very clearly, as they did when they went and voted this past year. Donald Trump won, I believe, because they finally heard in Donald Trump's promises the promise to secure America's borders, not against everybody, but against those who would come here and pose a problem. He promised to enforce the immigration laws so that Americans don't lose their jobs as well as their lives. And instead of recognizing that maybe Trump is onto something, the Democrats are hanging tough, and they're becoming more belligerent, more bellicose, more insistent that they're going to get their way no matter what. Do they really think they're representing the best interests of America or Americans by their conduct and by their words? I find it astonishing. I find it astonishing. Mayor of New York providing municipal ID to illegal aliens is reckless and dangerous, and now he wants to destroy the supporting documents for those documents that should never have been issued in the first place. You know, my dad taught me that I would teach people how they should treat me by demonstrating what I was willing to accept. What does that mean? When we don't speak out, when we don't write letters to our members of Congress, when we don't attend town hall meetings, we provide these politicians with the encouragement that we're not paying attention, or that we don't care, or that we're just plain stupid. That's a very dangerous message to send people who are power hungry, people who get campaign contributions that act as little more than bribes. Federal agents, civil servants, members of the armed forces are not allowed to accept gifts, gratuities, whatever. And yet you have members of Congress getting campaign contributions that are mind-boggling. Governors, mayors, same deal, the campaign contributions. Why in the world do we allow that? You have people that give campaign contributions to both candidates running for the same office. Why would you do that? See, if you like a candidate and you give a contribution to that candidate, it makes sense. You know, I like what Charlie Smith stands for, and I want to see him win the election, so I'm going to give him some money to help him pay for his campaign. That makes sense, I guess. But imagine if you give money to Charlie Smith and Barbara Jones, and they're both running for the same office. Now, really, why are you giving the contribution? Is it to help somebody win? Or is it to curry favor so that when you make that phone call or you walk into their office, you have access? Because campaign contributions buy access. And they can buy votes on critical bills. And these are issues that people don't seem to keep thinking about, but they need to. The conduct of the politicians in this era, especially where immigration, border security are concerned, the actions that are taken that hurt Americans, whether it's their jobs or their lives, it has to end. And you know, that again, coming back to what I always like to say at the end of my programs, that democracy is not a spectator sport. That's precisely what we're talking about. And someone like Chuck Schumer can rant and rave and stand in front of the cameras and say, look, if you trespass on critical infrastructure, if you trespass on a national landmark, you should go to jail for 5 years. When you trespass on America, now you should be given citizenship. Does anybody see a disconnect here? Why is it that nobody in the media ever makes that connection? Why is it that the media is eager to refer to anybody who demonstrates on behalf of illegal aliens as being pro-immigrant? Also happy to refer to people who want the laws enforced as being anti-immigrant, when in fact, under those laws, we admit more lawful immigrants than the rest of the world combined, roughly 1 million a year. Under those laws, we naturalize more new citizens than the rest of the world combined, often more than a half million new citizens every year. And under those laws, every year we admit tens of millions of non-immigrant, that is to say, temporary visitors, in accordance with those laws. So how can anyone look at the immigration laws and say, oh, those laws are against immigrants? Those laws define what an immigrant is and enable foreign nationals, aliens, to become United States citizens ultimately. Certainly enable them to enter America, enable them to get political asylum, enable them to enter as refugees, and enable them to share the American dream under the law. The law is balanced, has nothing to do with race or religion, but the news media will constantly refer to the people who oppose the enforcement of those laws as being pro-immigrant. And they insist that anybody who wants those laws enforced are anti-immigrant. Is that objective journalism? Is that fact-based reporting? Hardly. What we're experiencing in America today is something that really worries me. It's the fact that the American people don't know who to trust, don't know where to turn for the news, know they're being lied to. When I was a kid, we used to joke about Russia with their news reports. You know, I remember when I guess it was when we were looking for Saddam Hussein, and Tariq Aziz, his PR guy, went out there and, oh, the Iraqis are beating up on the Americans, and everyone laughed. We knew it was false news. Well, how many Tariq Azizes do we now have in the United States claiming to be journalists, providing such a spin, such a twist to the news that it's not news anymore? But it's not funny either. Democracies depend on an informed electorate. It is increasingly difficult, if not impossible, to get the truth. When you can't get the truth in a democracy, your democracy stands on shaky ground. That's the reason that when rebels stage a coup d'etat, they overthrow a government. After they seize the airport, they seize TV and radio stations, and then the newspaper printing presses. Dictatorships, totalitarian countries depend on controlling the information that the people have. And what's so remarkable is the accusations are flying that Trump doesn't want to deal with the truth, when in reality it's the newspapers and the radio shows and the TV shows that don't want to deal with the truth. The truth of the matter is that our immigration laws are fair. The truth of the matter is that those immigration laws are supposed to look out for Americans, to make sure they don't compete with foreign workers for jobs, to keep out the criminals who would kill us, to keep out the terrorists who would kill us, keep out the drugs that are killing so many young people in America. And here's another question. Clearly, there's an opioid epidemic in America today. Heroin has never been more plentiful, and yet the price and yet the demand continues to soar, and the price continues to drop. That only can happen if we have open borders, and I know Donald Trump wants to do something about it. And you have people who are opposed to securing the border, and that's not the only way that the drugs or the illegals are coming in. I've been screaming about this ever since I've taken my show on the road. I wrote an article for Front Page Magazine a couple of years ago. I called it Border Security and the Immigration Colander. The notion that if you plug one hole in the bottom of a colander, you haven't created a bucket. But on the other hand, we do need to secure that border. I compare a fence on the border or a wall on the border with a wing on an airplane. The wing by itself certainly won't fly, but an airplane without the wing won't fly either. That wing on an airplane is an integral component of what makes a flying machine a flying machine. Securing the Mexican border has to be a major component of any coherent, overarching strategy to finally bring immigration under control and restore integrity to the immigration system. There's nothing anti-immigrant about saying if you want to come to America, come through a port of entry so you can be vetted. Everyone agrees that we have to vet aliens. That was the big issue about the Syrians. Can they or can't they be vetted? And based on information provided by James Comey, the head of the FBI, Mike Steinbeck, his assistant director for intelligence and counterterrorism at the FBI, and John Brennan, the former head of the CIA, they can't be vetted. No one's asking another question, and that question is, what's the vetting process for aliens who run the border? We don't even have a record of their entry. And we know that there are terror training camps in Latin America, in the tri-border region of Brazil. We know that the Iranian shock troops, the Quds, are flying into Caracas, Venezuela. How important is that Mexican border given all those facts? So you would think that common sense would dictate that we take those measures, secure the borders, enforce the immigration laws from within the interior. And there's nothing wrong with enforcing the laws from within the interior. That's been the component, that third leg of what I've come to call the enforcement tripod that's always been missing. To use an analogy I've used in the past, if the police get a call on the radio that there's a bank robbery in progress or a jewelry store is being robbed, the police are not told, if you get to the bank or the jewelry store after the bad guys leave, don't chase them. When people run the border, they do not become less illegal the further they get from the border. This is the kind of madness that we're being subjected to day in and day out. And they always show the alien who lost his job because they've been arrested, now they're going home. Why doesn't the media show the images of the Americans who lose their jobs to foreign workers, or the Americans who, when a factory is raided, get a job? In fact, Fox News, to their credit, did that story where a restaurant was raided by immigration, and a day or two later, they were up and running again with American workers. Why is it rare that the other news programs don't show that? Every hardship story from illegal aliens, and I feel bad for them. I've arrested quite a few in my career. But as an American, I feel worse for my countrymen and their families, and our country women and their families, when they lose their jobs, or God forbid, when they or a family member loses their lives. That's what this is about. How in the world do we call sanctuary cities sanctuary cities when they're truly magnets for criminals, terrorists, and fugitives from justice and gangs? Hardly a sanctuary. Hardly a sanctuary. But this is what passes for the news. And again, the nonsense of the Latino voter, and here I was in a TV studio in Manhattan doing an interview for Irish television because of their concerns about illegal Irish in America. Is that a story about Latinos, or is that a story simply about Americans? Is it a story about aliens? Words matter. Words matter. And it's time we used honest language, because what we're doing now is engaging in newspeak, propaganda. Democracies can't thrive when there's no news. People don't know how to vote. They don't know what to think. It confounds any rational conversation the way we are right now. We've got to stop that. We really have to stop it because the stakes, frankly, folks, could not possibly be higher. You know, I want to thank all of you for joining me this Friday on my program. I hope that you will join me again next week. But really, it is so vital for you to get involved. If you find my programs interesting, please send the link to my podcast to your friends. You can put it on social media, any way you can communicate the information. Because I really believe that fact-based discussions are vital, and immigration certainly demands honesty in the coverage. And I really believe that if the facts were known, there wouldn't be much of an argument on the other side. Stakes are far too high to allow this foolishness to continue. And that's why, as I said throughout my program today, it's important for you to realize that democracy truly is not a spectator sport. I thank you again for being here. I look forward again to seeing you next week, same time, right here on the Michael Cutler Hour. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good night.